feelings. Welcome to Feel Feelings with Danny and George, the show that talks about feelings and the things that make you feel them.
So it's Troye Sivan, and then most of the Elektra and Daredevil soundtrack. That is all Damon listens to.
That is not true.
That is 100% true. You know what I have to say about that? Liar. That's what I have to say about that.
I can't tell you any song on the Elektra soundtrack. Daredevil. It's Evanescence.
Daredevil, on the other hand.
Ben Affleck's finest work. Are we recording?
We are, I guess.
Hi.
It is recording. Hi, George.
Hey, Danny.
Might as well bring him in right away.
We have a very special guest on the episode that's in-house, which is cool.
Is it video? Can I wave?
No, it's not video. There's no need to wave.
I mean, you can just wave. I can see
sit you. Quietly. my best man at my wedding, Damon Postolakis, is here.
Hey, everybody.
He's just a normal person.
Yeah, just a guy.
He's just a guy.
Yep.
He made me laugh one time that I've seen him in person, and you know, that's all it takes anymore.
That's perfect. Oh man. So yeah, we figured we had spent so much time talking up about the wedding, let's just not do a drop. Anytime we say fiance, we don't have to make a noise anymore.
You did talk about the wedding quite a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Two episodes I listened to.
And that was the last time we'll ever hear that.
My favorite part, I have to do it because if you hear dog noise, I'm down in the living room today because Meg's at Punchline tonight, so I'm pulling double duty here with a dog who's sleeping right now and hopefully stays that way.
Anytime I'm on this
computer, I try to do the sound drops and they come out of the computer despite everything else coming out of my headphones. So I don't know how that's going to sound. I'm not going to edit it in post. So just deal with it.
We'll figure it out. it was like a topic of conversation because I would bring it up. I'm excited. And also it's fun to make Danny do sound drops as the producer. Yes. But we figured that this would be a great episode to get Damon on the show because he's my bestest friend and a boon companion.
Dog.
First interruption here already.
Oh, come on in. But also, it is a way to just put the marriage talk to bed. Damon, you were there. How was it?
It was good. It was a wedding.
It sure was.
We ate food. We danced.
Yep. You did a speech that you practiced very, very hard on.
Very, very rigorous. You know,
As a wedding guest aficionado at this point, I've been in so many. I was in two weddings that weekend. You did so good.
Oh.
That was not par for the course for best man speech at weddings. Like, most of them are stuff that people very clearly found on the internet and then just like found and replaced the name of their best friend. So
yeah,
to see it actually personal was a very nice touch.
You mean like our officiant, Mike Hausch, decided to replace any use of the word God as the universe?
The universe? Yeah, we were talking about that prior.
It's just being like, yes, you are both children of the universe. And you can tell this was a wedding Mad Lib.
I thought he did a great job. Because also Universal Life Church, so I think that's why he put universe in there so much.
No, he reached out beforehand, like a couple days beforehand, to be like, hey, here's what I'm going to say, is there anything you want to change? And the one thing that we said was like, hey, no notes, just we're not religious, so don't add any religious stuff.
Get
so
God
he
out of there.
he very like purposefully just erased God and wrote the universe.
So I have a small qualm with his presentation. We were talking and riffing out stuff beforehand, and it came up because of stuff that he was talking about, and I hadn't even realized it. Meg was like, is that a thing you said? But a thing that I said while we were talking before the wedding made it into what he said at the wedding. Ooh. And it got a laugh, and I was like, I did it. It's mine.
as soon as we were like edits.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were mingling at the end, and Meg was like, that's the thing you said, wasn't it? And I was like, Yeah, maybe.
In fairness, there was a few moments in Damon's speech where these are just jokes I tell on stage that you happen to work into your speech, either on purpose or just it happened. But
I don't even know what you're referencing.
The thank God you got your dog out of that terrible island Aruba and then brought him to New Jersey. That's just straight up a whole chunk from like my 15.
It killed with my parents.
It did really well.
I mean. It did better than any time I've seen George try it. So
yeah, exactly. And then also, not a joke that you've used, like I use, but one of, I think, the funniest parts of your speech, not for what you intended, is some of you may know that George lived in my basement for several months, and I was sitting next to my family's table, and I heard my aunt and uncle go, I didn't know that.
We're the someones that didn't know. That's about us.
Awesome. I didn't know that.
Because I didn't know how hard to hit that. So I was like, it's just going to be one sentence and then we're moving on.
Remember when he was homeless, guys? Anyway, try the veal. I'll be here until the end of the wedding. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Of course.
This is
going to
be a lot of fun.
Before you keep going, is there a way to turn Damon up just a little bit?
Second dial.
Because because you're going to be one feed, you're coming in a little...
Talk loud.
Better?
You can go up even farther.
Better?
Much better. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And we're not getting any bleed because it's not, that one's not omnidirectional. This one is.
Yeah, it's coming through fine. And like, I'm sure Zoom is masking whatever usually covers all that kind of stuff. So it should be fine.
Gotcha. Cool. Well, if it doesn't air, he's not back. We're not redoing this episode with Damon Postolakis.
No.
I mean,
when's he going to be in the room?
What are you going to promote next time, Damon?
I have an album.
You work for Pepsi.
I could send a really good email. A lot of points.
I've seen your emails.
I could send a good spreadsheet.
Damon once sent an email to the president of our college asking him what classes he was like, how do I contact my professor?
No, it was about the smokestacks on campus because there were smokestacks rising out of the ground. So I emailed him like, what is it? And then they said, we're doing construction.
And he was like, please don't email me.
It's our secrets. Don't ask again.
And he would dress up as Donatello and crawl out of those smokestacks. This is another solid Donatello reference here on the episode.
Right. The first one may or may not have been on the air. So that was either the first or one of many.
Speaking of things that like aren't being logged, this is such a weird social media plug.
Yeah.
But for those listeners that follow me on Strava, you can't shake your head. No one can see you, David.
I'm on that thing too, but no one can find me. It's just for me.
And that's fair. Do health for you, my guy.
Tell me how many steps I had, and no one else gets to know.
I've been trying to do that where I'm like running a bit more, but because of my emotions. That's why we do this show.
We keep coming back here, yeah.
But because of my like album walk thing that I post on the internet, one of them glitched when I was in the Newark airport. So all my timed runs are off by one. So if it says like your third best mile run, it's my second best because it glitched in the Newark airport and was telling me that I was sprinting across the turnpike and back within seconds.
over and over.
Yeah, and just like, gah, 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 gah. I was bouncing off of planes.
So I've been a public transportation person over these last couple weeks.
Yeah, you're a train boy now.
Yeah, I take three different forms of transportation every day. The three
planes,
different
trains and automobiles.
Sometimes it's subway to train, which I guess is both train, but you know, different versions of train.
Train.
And then I drive my car from the train station to work, which is great. Driving my car 10 minutes instead of an hour and a half, great. I love it because my car is broken, and it's great to not have to worry about it for that long.
Haven't you had like 10 cars in the last 3 years or something like that?
No, just the same one that I keep having to fix because people do stuff to my car when I'm not in it.
You gotta tell Meg to stop fucking with your car.
She got a new car. I have my car.
It's weird how that's how me and Casey are. Which, like, Casey has her lease that she gets every 2 years. She gets a new car, and then I have that.
Yeah, that's why I had to start doing the public transportation thing, because Meg had to borrow my car while she was in the process of getting a new car, and I could do public transportation to work. So I was like, I guess I have to be the one to deal. But so I've taken to walking the dog in the morning, and then I will drop the dog off and go directly to whatever bus or subway that I'm getting on. And I will forget to stop the walk. So it goes like, you took 50,000 steps in an hour. You are so good. Like,
oh, that's a world record. That's not a personal record.
Yeah. I wish I could undo that. It's like, you can backtrack the walk, but it still says you took like 59,000 steps. Yeah. So it's like, great.
Yeah, you have to like delete it immediately.
I was going to say, can you just like delete it? I feel like I wouldn't want that in my data, like messing it up.
Strava's not a perfect science, and I think they make it
fixes
that way.
It the miles,
until,
but it doesn't fix the steps.
Yeah, and they won't fix it. Like, it's a lot more user friendly if you buy into it.
Oh, I ain't gonna do that.
Yeah, if you use the free version.
So it's free? I mean, it can be free. Oh.
So like, if you're just logging how many steps, or like you want to see how far you ran, that's fine. Because it's basically just tracking your phone.
Interesting.
But then you can like pay for it to scope out different running spots and see who's the leader of that running spot and try to like take their lead on it.
Yeah, it's like Pokemon Go for running.
Yeah, essentially, except there's no Pokemon.
Sounds.
Yeah, except for there's no reward at all. Should we lightning round?
We should lightning round. So this is we're gonna go rapid fire through the emotions that are, I believe, like they're like an actual like, you know, list of emotions that doctors use. It's not just
they are the
from
six
the movie.
Basic emotions. Everything
six,
stems
basic
from
emotions.
Yeah, I forget whose theory that was, and one of these times I will look it up so we can stop pretending we've never heard of this movie.
Yeah,
but it is a real thing that existed prior to whatever that movie's called.
Inside so it's out. The emotions in Inside Out. For
shut
real?
Up! No, it's not. How dare you?
And, you know,
do you know how Sue happy Disney is?
Guys, I hate to break it to you.
Especially now. Things aren't going well.
Yeah, they need the money.
That's true.
Ms. Marvel has flopped.
I didn't hate it.
We were going to go yesterday, but then we were like, nah, let's get drunk at BJ's Brewhouse in Teterboro Airport.
Wait, I was just there on... Wait, when were you there?
Yesterday.
Not Sunday. Okay. I was there Sunday.
You went with Heather.
I like the theory that you both were
after
so drunk.
This happens more.
Well,
than
that was you.
All right, so lightning round. Danny, take it away.
You know what's really funny? I'm clearing out the ones from the last episode, and you weren't here for that one. But the anger, the answer was just boners. But like the old, the old school what? Version of it, of like bonehead boner. But forgetting that when I saw it immediately, it just said anger boners.
Boner.
Anger boners.
Stupid.
So yeah, we go through all six really fast, and then we'll talk about the ones that seem interesting. So make a couple of them interesting.
Okay.
What makes
make
you feel
as boring as possible? Yeah. Okay, go.
What makes you feel disgust?
Disgust. Someone being like condescending to someone else or me. So condescension.
I thought that was like someone being condescending or me. I feel I disgust me. What makes you feel surprised?
Surprised. I don't know. It's not a good lightning round. Hold on.
We'll wait.
This is the slowest lightning.
Sorry.
Which is like the coolest thing in the world, like a time lapse or whatever. That not time lapse. That's when it goes faster. What's when it goes slower?
Slow motion.
No.
Slow mo. Which is short.
Yes, it is slow mo. But like, isn't there a word for it?
Like
long exposure.
Yeah, but that's like a photo.
Yeah, but that.
I'm thinking of the dial on the bottom of
whatever.
Yeah.
Did I stall poorly long enough?
No, I still got nothing. But anytime I like expectations like are changed drastically, like I don't know, even if something as stupid as like a movie having like a twist or something, just I don't know, anything that's shocking. I know it's a bad answer because it could be anything, but
well, that works.
Yeah, it works.
All right.
What makes you feel joy?
Joy.
Why won't you make eye contact with me?
What?
Why won't you make eye contact with me?
I like getting to relax, I think, and just not, you know, having my mind racing. So, relaxation.
What makes you feel anger?
Anger. I don't know. Just like people being like douchey to each other. Just like if someone's a real asshole, like it pisses me off.
I like that I got to replace boners with douche. What makes you feel sadness?
Sadness. Like, I guess the idea of like letting myself down.
And last one, what makes you feel fear?
Fear. Just like, I guess, life changing and sometimes not knowing how to handle it or feel about it.
Okay, so it seems like change is a big thing for you. You want to get into it?
Yeah.
This is the same man that has lived a 30-minute train ride from New York City his entire life and has been like, that's too much.
I'm not like a city guy. I don't know.
I get it.
I, you know, like when you were saying public transit before, like that's, I'm not a public transportation person. Like that gives me anxiety.
I love it. I've always wanted to be a public transportation person, but I was in the suburbs where like the only SEPTA stop was at the like the grassy corner of a Five Points intersection. And I was like, there's not even a sidewalk to get to there. Like you're trying to just like sacrifice any bus rider who wants to like be healthy for the environment.
There's a spot when I drive to work every day that I see people lined up waiting to get on an overcrowded bus to head into Port Authority. It's on like I guess it's 3 past the Trader Joe's if you're heading that like past the Clifton like outdoor mall area. For those in New Jersey that will know this.
Yeah, very specific.
We got New Jersey. You have been located deep on this episode. but there are just people that are standing in between and on an off ramp on a piece of like concrete, and there's like 12 people deep all waiting every morning, and it's just like one person not realizing that their lane is ending is going to
kill them,
end all of these people. Mm-hmm. There's no guardrail or nothing.
I would
it's
hate
just
that so much.
Yeah, awful. The suburban idea of trying to get on any sort of public transport is a nightmare.
Yeah, I don't want to work that into my day. Like
no, work in the 6th rated New York City and all of the state of New York, White Plains. All right. So which one do you want to tackle first? Just to dig deep on.
I want to stick to the change thing, but I want to get to the other side of it. Is there a time you can think of where the change happened, whatever it is, and you were like, good. And like you felt the joy and relaxation that comes with it, with a change.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, so like I moved out of my parents' house, very exciting stuff, a couple years ago, and I just like live on my own, and I feel like that was a big change, and overall, I've been pretty happy with it, and it's been positive.
Did you go through a lot of, like, I mean, I know you and your family, right. And your family are some of the kindest people in the world,
cool.
Where they're very much like, no, all my children can stay if they want to, like they've mm-hmm. never once felt like, other than me, like forced your children out of this home,
right?
I was DJ Jazzy Jeff out of there. but like they've always been like, no, save as much money as you can, stay as long as you want. Yep. it doesn't bother us. Was there fear going that alone, or was there an excitement of being, oh, like you moved out when you're 29?
Yeah, 29. Yeah.
And you were, you know, like, was there an excitement to be like, yes, I get to be my own person? Or is this like, oh, this change is terrifying?
Both.
Okay.
I think I was excited to kind of like be my own person more and like have my own space and just like be a functioning adult with like bills, which is like the most boring answer. But like, just
I'm so excited to lose money to the government.
It's true that I feel like everyone goes
through
that. I did kind of
love it. Every time I pay a bill, I'm like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I knew I could.
And I feel like at, you
and
know,
we're the last generation to do so, probably.
Probably. My kids aren't going to be able to.
Yeah. No, anytime Casey's like, you know, like she went to a psychic once who told her that like we would have like two girls and a boy. We'll have three kids.
Very expensive.
Very expensive. And I was like, I don't care what gender they are. Or
you're like, who's raising them?
Yeah. I was like, not even who's raising them. I was just like, can they fight in the inevitable water wars that we will need for them to survive and provide?
Is that why
Casey
started doing all the fitness stuff? So she 100%. Could pass it on to them.
That's why I'm running. All right. She can teach them how to fight. I can teach them how to run.
Just put all the effort into training one of them. Sorry, two other kids.
Yeah. It's like, it's that scene in Without a Paddle where he's just like, I'm taking my shoes off because I run faster with my shoes off. You can't outrun a bear. I don't have to outrun a bear. I just have to outrun you.
Yep.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
I'm pretty sure I've told this story on the show before, but in case I haven't, there was a girl I was dating and, you know, when you're sitting around trying to figure out what to do, you end up watching a movie. You go back and forth for a while out of nowhere, like no previous mention to anybody involved, that movie, whatever. Just, I don't know, what about Without a Paddle? And then we found it. It was like early days of streaming stuff where like not everything was easily found. And we found it and we watched most of it. And I don't know, things kind of turned and we're like, all right, whatever. And then we look later and we found out that was on the exact day that movie had come out. And we're like, this movie was done to us. Like, this wasn't our choice. The universe was like, you're Without a Paddle now. You have to. It was passed on to us. We're doing it. I'm Seth Green now.
And what an interesting coincidence being that Dr. Mott, Seth Green's character, also afraid of change. Damon, thoughts?
That's true.
Is that why every time you get a little drunk, go, I'm Dr. Mott now?
I do say that a lot. I quote that a lot. Good job bringing it all around. I'm impressed.
I keep things on track here on the show and don't let my ADHD get in the way at all.
Yeah, that is how it goes every time for sure.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see you, you know, I don't want to say finally branching out, but knowing you for the many years that I have, seeing you strike out on your own and get into uncomfortable and exciting circumstances for yourself has been really fun to see. Not that like I'm sitting around worrying about you all the time, but like,
sheesh, this guy's so dull. Do something.
Nah, best guy ever. Just also like in his speech, in his speech, like, you know, he would come back to to our dorm and start studying. And then I would appear somewhere in the room just trying to create some light and levity by saying, this isn't where I parked my car, and then leaving. But
that
genuinely,
was,
this man could have closed the door. Yeah, this man could have closed a door and taken himself on a date. He could have like, you know, any number of things to like, you know, put like do something. And instead he's like, no, I'm gonna study. And now he does stuff that makes him scared. And that's great. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, George.
I mean studying was always very scary to me. I was like, I'm never gonna retain any of this. Why am I doing it? What a waste of time. That's when life became real, when I was like, this is just me passing minutes, and I could only think about minutes passing instead of the information in front of me. Yeah. I was a very bad studier.
Yeah, I think you have Damon has specifically said that like nothing is worse than breaking down your day into 15-minute increments and just being like, cool, got through those. Yeah. Next up. And God, why do we have an entire institution that's dedicated to that?
Yeah,
let's just count the 15-minute increments, and then we get to go back to a terrible apartment that we pay them for. what else did we have on the list here?
Tell me what you at your most relaxed is.
Most relaxed.
Your ultimate joy scenario.
I mean, like if I'm like on vacation, but no, I don't know. Just done with work for the day, walking my dog, just kind of being out in nature.
Are you like a kick your shoes off and the day is over kind of person? Or is it like, you know, you're still living a life after work?
No, my day's pretty much over with work. I feel like I don't know.
We once did the math on it. And in college, at least, Damon had to have watched 48 hours of television a week in order to
that
keep
is
up.
Not that is
we
an
did the math.
That is an exaggeration for sure.
Us three men who also lived with you pooled our collective math brains together and figured out it was 48 hours to watch every show
okay.
that you would wait for.
I think you guys had too much time on your hand. Mad Men.
Yeah, back then okay. it was probably Mad Men. It was Doctor Who. It was Game
Who,
of Thrones. Right. It was yep. Walking Dead. American Horror Story was a popular one that you watched all the time.
You're on it, yeah.
What were some other ones? There were some other ones that you like watched with. We had like a large group of people that we went to college with, and it was basically split down the middle, girls and boys. So I feel like the girls had you like watched some show with them a lot. Like Bern and Megan.
Bern and Megan
had like American Horror Story, but then there was like shows that you watched.
Yeah, there
with...
was that terrible show with the wine.
Cougar Town.
No, but that's good. Good
that was reference. A good show though.
Was it?
Cougar Town was pretty fun.
I liked Cougar Town devolving away from being like a town of cougars to like community and Scrubs universe adjacent.
It turned into like a Scrub show, didn't it?
Yeah.
They had like everyone on.
It basically had every cast member of Scrubs.
It's a Bill Lawrence show. And every time Bill Lawrence makes any show, all those people are on it.
Yeah, well, one of them was his wife, right?
Yeah.
Is his wife? Was his wife?
Yeah,
is
she's
his
wife. On the new Shrinking show.
She is on the new Shrinking.
Oh, is she? I haven't watched that one yet. That's the only one of his I haven't seen anything of, I think.
It's
good.
Bill Lawrence.
It's good.
Scrubs holds up other than the blackface.
Is there blackface?
I don't remember the blackface.
There's a lot of blackface in it. At one point, I think Turk and JD like switch roles. And so there's definitely photos online of Zach Braff in blackface.
Awkward.
Yeah.
We just watched the first episode of that the other day. And Meg was like, I can't do anymore. It makes me sad. And I was like, I kind of get it.
Yeah. My dad's in a couple episodes.
That is maybe the most impossible to rewatch arc of any character on any TV show ever.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. That is true. It's tough.
reliving other ghosts of ex-girlfriends. I remember I was coming home from college and everything the night before, flights were delayed, pickups were late, all this stuff. And I'm just, worn out, super late night. I wake up and on the little TV in the bedroom that I was basically borrowing at my parents' house, was just a marathon of Scrubs, and it was that arc. And I was supposed to go see my girlfriend who still lived back here. And I was like, I'm just gonna watch this instead. And we ended up breaking up that weekend.
Well, yeah, because you made the right decision in
I'm gonna have the where do you think you are right now just looming. I'm not gonna actually watch it. I'm just gonna have to think about it. Like,
yeah.
When you watch it, you get the closure. Like, I knew it was coming. I couldn't just let it be.
I happen to know that you cannot do this all on your own, and that you're no Superman. And
no, I know.
It's important to remember.
Just leave. Just leave.
It's my show.
Go.
But anyway, best Bill Lawrence show, Clone High.
Yes, love Clone High.
I don't even know what
I've shown you. Clone High,
Damon.
When? What?
So Clone High was a show in the early 2000s.
Post-Scrubs.
I believe. Or adjacent to Scrubs?
Mid-Scrubs, I believe.
Really?
I think it was Scrubs fame kind of gave him a green light.
To do something weird.
He used it for that with Lord and Miller, who are like kings of animation now.
Yeah. Hmm. So it is a animated television series.
Okay.
I guess it's a similar trajectory where it's like...
It's way, way back in the 1980s.
Yeah.
Secret government employees.
He's singing the theme song. It's a secret organization cloned all the famous people.
Okay.
And then they put them and raise them and put them into high school. So it is a
weird,
OC
weird
Gossip
concept.
Girl type animated series, but it stars Will Forte as Abraham Lincoln.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh.
Which... A role he has reprised in other Lord and Miller things.
Interesting.
Who else is in it? Joan of Arc plays like the goth girlfriend. His best friend is Gandhi, who has ADHD.
Wait, so do they know? Like,
they all know that they were once famous people.
Oh, okay.
But they were all cloned at exactly the same time. So even though they're from different time periods, they... Sorry, dog is back. They are exactly the same age.
Yeah. So they're all at high school level. And the soundtrack is Dashboard Confessional, Hot Rod Circuit, The Appleseed Cast, Down to Earth Approach. Like, they just took the emo anthems
they
of that
OC'd
generation.
It. Yeah, on that front.
And that's just awesome. Made that the playlist for the whole episode. There's special guests from, like, the episode that Gandhi finds out he has ADHD. They get Tom Green as a special guest who, like, tries to teach people that ADHD is a serious illness and, like, like brain chemistry issue, and then gets distracted by a plastic bag and runs away right before he's supposed to do a speech. It's one of the best irreverent stupid shows you'll ever watch in your life.
I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah,
it just came back with a very satisfying renewal, like a 10 years later renewal on HBO. That, you know, never as good as I want them to be when that stuff happens. This one kind of was.
We'll watch an episode before you go home.
Okay.
You walk, Billy, right?
I feel like you've definitely never told me about that show.
Oh, anyway. No, it's one of the best. It's like my parents quote Clone High because I watched it so much as a kid that they would laugh at the lines in the show while I was watching it in the living room.
Okay.
Like when Gandhi finds out that he has ADD,
this was a very important episode.
It was the second episode, so they played it a lot.
Every episode, not to kind of take your meaning a different way, but every episode is like a very important episode.
Yeah,
so they're all sold as like after school special, like really important.
Yeah. Interesting. Every episode's like when what's her name is taking caffeine pills and so that episode they're like, oh, like don't tell the theater department that Gandhi has ADD, and then they all just shows them in like black leotards.
Gandhi has ADD. Gandhi has ADD.
You get it from, and then he's like, oh, did you hear? Go tell Paul Revere. And then a teenager dressed up as Paul Revere is like, too late. And he rides through the halls telling everybody Gandhi has ADD.
That's
and that
awesome.
You get it from toilet seats.
Okay, let's watch it.
We will.
I want to see it.
Make sure you show him the many more episodes.
I will.
What is the show?
Yeah, so it's Abraham Lincoln, Joan of Arc, Gandhi, and then the two popular people are JFK and Cleopatra.
Hilarious.
It's great.
Yeah.
I don't remember what this is about being relaxed. TV does relax you a lot.
It
like
does.
TV is your
it
joy.
Does. Yeah.
Is like the thing that you appreciate the most.
I do appreciate a good TV show. Just because I feel like I can like clear my head and just like sit and, you know, relax.
Yeah, I think
that makes me sound boring, but like
people need people. Like, you're the person in my life that is dedicated to finding new art in some sort of way. And
that's true.
The people without those people in the world listen to Disturbed. and what you do is you every Friday check Apple Music to see like what's new and trending.
I do.
Will give every TV show and movie a shot at least.
Except for Clone High, apparently.
Except for Clone High. But like, I'm surprised I didn't get the trailer for Madam Web for you today.
I almost sent it to you. I almost sent it to you and I was like, this looks weird.
Why are they Spider-Man but not Spider-Man?
Exactly.
All right, so before we spin the wheel and go into break, what are the shows I need to be watching right now? Because I'm watching nothing.
Ooh, you're watching nothing. Oh my god.
I just watched Goosebumps because it felt novel. That was it.
How
that
was the new
thing.
Goosebumps?
How was that?
I have an episode left, which will determine a lot. It's a kind of on the fence the whole time kind of show.
But Justin Long, thumbs up.
Great. Justin Long is great.
Who doesn't love Justin Long?
He does a lot of very physical acting.
Isn't he like don't people not like him?
He's Justin Long. What's
I know,
like?
But like, isn't he like an asshole or something? Oh, hello.
The dog walked in. He's not distracted.
He seems like
no
the type who is
video.
A lot, but I haven't heard anything like demeaning or bad about him.
Okay. But anyway,
I mean, I would believe it. He seems like a lot.
He does. Did you see Barbarian real quick, the movie with him?
I did.
Did you? Sounds like you didn't like it.
My opinion, just another one. I was on the fence the whole way and it didn't land it for me. I wasn't out. There's a lot that I liked, but it didn't hit all the way for me.
Boo. I like that movie a lot. It was wacky. Watch it. It's wacky.
Oh, yeah. I think if I go back and watch it as if it were a comedy, because it has comedy timing. And I know it's made by a comedy person, so maybe that's why I'm watching it with that kind of like perspective on it.
Yeah.
But I was watching it hoping for a horror movie, and it has very comedic timing for a horror movie.
It does. Yeah. I'm surprised you didn't see it.
What? So TV shows.
TV show. Sorry. So not a new TV show, but like my favorite TV show, and it was just added to Netflix, so kind of a big deal. 6 Feet Under. Did you watch 6 Feet Under?
Ooh. Oh, we just started it, actually.
Oh my God. You got to just watch the whole thing.
Yeah. I'd been hearing stuff about it for years, and then it was just, you know, I guess it was like a TikTok thing that it was kind of reemerging, and anytime something's reemerging on TikTok, Meg will show it to me. So we had to watch it.
Nice. It's so good. I love that show so much. I feel like
that was another show in college that like you were like, we all need to watch this together.
Oh, yeah,
as a
I did
group.
I made you all watch
and then the other one, which I'm sorry if this is too deep and we can cut it if you want, but Damon pulled us all into a room on a snow day in college and was we should watch Lost. We're gonna start Lost.
That was my college show.
Yeah, and then
so
the
good.
Day
that
we
first
started
show I
the
ever
episode,
marathoned.
That was so we good. Started the episode, and Damon gets a phone call, and his grandpa died.
Oh no!
Like literally, we start the first episode,
and instead of being upset or being emotional, he got up from his chair and went, "Really? When we start Lost?" And then went to go shovel his car out.
I was so pissed. You guys messed that. You all shoveled my car out. And then you're like, wave me off. You're like, bye. I'm like, okay, but finish.
Yeah, but wait for me. Yeah, that was the first show I ever watched all of. And I don't remember. I think ABC had just started kind of hosting shows online. Oh. So it was like around like mid season 3. And I found out you could watch everything up to that point. So I just did. And then once I did that, I was like, well, I'm not going to stop now, even though I was kind of out by that point. But like, I got to like caught up to what was airing, and I was like, I don't really want to wait for it. It's not worth waiting. But I did watch every week when it aired, read all the theories, read all like I had like watch parties for the whole last season.
Nice.
Which I liked it. I liked the last season.
I loved all of it. And I didn't know they aired it like reruns on ABC. I wish I'd known that, because at the time, I probably also started around season 3, and like my siblings and I went to Blockbuster to get like the box set of like season 1, and like we watched it through, and then season 2, and then we
I never thought I'd hear a sentence with all sincerity sound dated until you said me and my siblings went to go see to the Blockbuster. Like, I think maybe it's because you have a brother and two sisters that siblings covers them all.
Oh yeah, well
but it's like, you know, you have to say siblings, like that's the way you have to break it up. However, saying siblings and Blockbuster makes it sounds like you're an Amish family going to the Blockbuster.
It does sound like from another time, for sure.
We would also do the same thing, but with Bones.
I watched a lot of Bones in college too. I do not know why.
Such
it could have been
show.
Your influence.
It's so
it's weird.
It's very watchable.
What's the one character in Bones that's like,
is it Bones?
It's not Bones. He was the young, gangly FBI agent.
Oh, Sweets.
Sweets.
Did is he the one who writes all those movies now?
Yeah. He's the one that wrote, like...
The Freaks and Geeks kid?
He was in Freaks and Geeks, and then he was in Bones, and then he wrote something terrible and was like, oh, I guess my career is over. And then he wrote Homecoming, like Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh. I want to see what his something terrible is. His name is John Francis Daly. I do know
John
that.
Francis Daly.
I just wanted to say that loud.
What was like the game night move? Was it called Game Night?
He was Game Night for sure. Yeah.
Game Night.
But Game Night was good. What's the bad thing?
Yeah, what's the bad
he
thing?
He did something that like bombed hard. And then they're like, how can I ever
did
financially recover from
game
this?
Night? Maybe.
Maybe it's Game Night?
Game Night was good.
Game Night didn't do well.
Oh.
He wrote Horrible Bosses.
Oh, that doesn't age well.
I don't know anything about it, really. I know I've seen both of them, but I don't. There's no like recollection.
They were really bad bosses. That was
that part
they,
I did remember.
To kill them or like hurt them?
Yeah, they were trying to like.
He did I think he did Vacation.
Oh, people like.
No, he did.
He did
Vacation.
Yeah, he did. Because
he did the two the Hulu Vacation whatever movies. Those were both him.
Yeah. He did like the Ed Helms remake of National Lampoon's Vacation.
I didn't. Was it? What was? Was it good? I didn't.
6.1 on IMDb.
It's
that's
one of those like reboot slash sequels.
A requel.
A requel, according to Scream, Scream 5 so, yeah, or 6 or whatever.
His we'll go through the couple of written bys that lead up to it to see just like how vastly different this man.
Honestly, I would have guessed that there'd be more. I have it up in front of me now.
Yeah. Horrible Bosses in 2011. The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, 2013. It was like a Steve Carell.
It's Steve Buscemi and what's it? Steve Jim Carell. Carrey?
Is it Jim Carrey?
Yes.
I don't know.
He was like the
Jim Carrey's like the crazy. No, is Steve Carell the crazy?
Steve Carell, Steve Buscemi.
Jim Carrey was the crazy.
Although Jim Carrey's in it. James Gandolfini is in it. Rest in peace. Mm. Jay Moore, Alan Arkin, David Copperfield. The Incredible Burt Wonderstone, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2.
Oh, that movie was funny.
Yeah, I like pun-based humor.
Yeah.
Horrible Bosses 2, Vacation. Then he did a pass at Spider-Man Homecoming, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Vacation Friends for Hulu.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
He did
the sequel just
story.
Came out this year, yeah.
He did screenplay by Dungeons and Dragons. That like
oh,
recent...
people like
yeah,
that
he wrote
lot.
That one. Yep.
And then he did a screen story for The Flash.
That was bad.
Which The Flash, not a great movie. Lots of good in it, but the whole opening scene being a falling baby rescue.
So weird. So weird.
The movie's not gonna get better than that. It doesn't Michael Keaton's not going to raise the level of like falling babies in a microwave.
The
like...
microwave bit was weird. I was like, what is he doing? Why is he doing that? What?
I was like, this
I watched
is what
that
I want
scene.
Superheroes to be. I want it to be weird and stupid and insane. And I wish it weren't The Flash because that guy is really hard to root for.
I wish you didn't mute that time. We all heard you yell at your dog, you piece of
yeah,
shit.
But I will edit it out.
No, you gotta leave it in.
I have to go get what she got. I'll be right back.
We're talking about it.
You know what? Let's spin the wheel. She'll survive eating these index cards.
All right.
That's healthy.
I'll find out later if that panned it. Anyway,
we're getting it in our
stupefied.
Earphones.
I can stupefied!
We're getting it in the earphones very loudly. You do not have to double up on the mic.
is it coming
loud.
Through twice?
It's coming through for me on time. Like,
yeah, it came through for me.
We have the same headphones. It's just a splitter.
How?
What you're
you?
Getting is what
How
I'm getting.
Whatever. We got stupefied.
I can stupefied!
We'll be right back
stupefied.
To talk about it.
Stupefied!
Hey, I'm Danny.
I'm John.
We host Blanket and Covers, the show where we cover the covers.
Have you ever thought about trying to find every single version of Angel of the Morning or Careless Whispers?
That's an us thing, I think.
Yeah. If that's something that you think you would be into, I think you should definitely check out our show. We think that by listening to every version of a song that has ever been done, can like gain something new.
Yeah, each week we do a deep dive through a band's catalog or one specific song. Season 1 is out there now. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts. Hey everyone, Danny here with Plug. You can find Damon, I don't know, in places, not really a social media guy and nothing to promote, but if you see him out in the world, say hello. As for George and I, we are at Feel Feelings Pod on all the places. You could like, share, rate, review, you know, reach out, email us, let us know you're listening. We always appreciate that. I have some shows to promote starting after Thanksgiving. So if you want updates on all that stuff, you can follow me, Danny_Getz. Start promoting that more after the holiday passes. So look forward to that. And I believe that's it for the week. Back to the show.
your brother, very much not, I'm not going to say the demographic of a Disturbed fan, but
the demographic
very
a
much
Disturbed
a Disturbed fan.
Yeah.
You know, buff hockey player, then frat bro.
Yep.
And now is a gym teacher. Those people like Disturbed.
And now he's a parent.
And he's a father.
Yeah.
Stupefying a new generation. Anyway, we're back. I'm not leaving that out. That was fun.
I can stupefied!
I've gotten 3 good jokes this whole episode. I'm not cutting out one of them.
So, Damon,
welcome back.
What makes you feel stupefied?
I can stupefied!
Can we define stupefy first? Is it being like...
You're going to make me do extra work
is
and
it
have
being
to
like,
call up...
Uh-oh, definition, man.
Is it being shocked in a good way or a bad way?
That's kind of up to
I
you.
I guess it's your interpretation, yeah. Right?
We have had discussions about like emotions having both positive and negative things. And I really don't want to call definition dictionary, man.
Let's see, stupefy. I definitely take it as a negative for sure.
Okay.
I think the connotation is because
is,
like,
it's
stupid
a
is in
of,
there. You've been you've been made to be stupid, like
dumbfounded,
whatever,
yeah.
Dumbfounded.
Yeah, like I feel like to me, I take it as like a shameful, like a negative. But I guess it could also just be like stopping you in your tracks because you're like witnessing something dumb.
Yeah. When I was looking up the thing just on the break because we didn't plan this ahead of time at all. The wheel only tells us as soon as we know.
It's a good thing we take that break.
It's a good thing we take that break to think about it. And not a day. when I was looking into it, like what came to mind first was being able to see Bruce like on the floor in MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. Like that was maybe less stupefied, but more awestruck. But I feel like they're positive and negative, the yin and yang of that same core
thing. Would say that totally works.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's probably
like a specific moment where you just were stupefied. Like awestruck is like the overall all-encompassing feeling of being there, and then there's got to be like he hits a note that you're like shut down, like I can't think, I can't feel, I'm just off because of this.
Sure. I mean, you know what left me a little bit stupefied, just so we can go through a couple of examples. When Damon was coming over, I always throw on some sort of like live music type situation on YouTube. And we turned on because every once in a while, some saint on the internet uploads episodes of 120 minutes from the 90s.
That's a great show.
So we're watching one. And I got to say, like, if we're talking about like just that aspect of like hearing something and it kind of stops you in your tracks then leading to be more introspective, I am having a lot of trouble getting into Oasis, and like I'm stupefied by Oasis because I don't understand how this
they're a great hits band,
like I just don't understand how like this band had such cultural relevance and I can't get through track 3 on any of their albums.
But it's just pop rock. Everyone loves good pop rock.
Yeah, but like it's, I don't know, something about it. Like I tried to go for a run with it and then I switched to D'Angelo. And I was like,
that's
I'll listen
not
to D'Angelo.
All
you were
day.
Clearly in a different mood. That is
I
not Oasis's fault.
No, because I've tried Oasis so many times. And then the second one, and I feel guilty about this because I feel like it makes me lose punk credibility, but I am stupefied by how everyone loves Dinosaur Jr. And it just sounds like this man has the loudest guitar and then has to whisper into a microphone 2 days later. And it's just like, I can't, it does not compute.
I don't know any Dinosaur Jr. I know the name.
Try it.
That's it.
They have stuff that I love. I cannot tell you what song it is. Individual one song. There's a Spike Jonze music video DVD collection and they had one on there. And it was a great song, and I feel the pain. Maybe I don't remember. That's coming to mind, and I don't know any of their songs, so I'm sure it's that one.
I was like stupefied by hearing that contrast of sound, and then thinking about all the reasons as to like how did this get played on MTV all the time. I need it's on a list on my phone called bands I want to get but can't seem to buy into.
It's a very long list.
Slipknot was on there for a while, and then I was just like, no, I think I get it now.
Yeah, I always understood.
But I'm taking too much time away. Okay, so Stupefy, a moment in your life, a scene in a movie.
So I feel like I don't know. It's like kind of personal and weird, but it's like the only thing that's really coming to my mind. So I'm just going to share it.
Okay.
So Stupefied, and it was I take Stupefy as like a negative, hurtful tone. So this is back in high school. I was that kid that I like dated in high school. We were just like laying in his bed and like, you know, talking, like we were like cuddling or something. And this is before.
Are you being cagey on purpose, or was this like very complicated, like, I don't know what we were doing. What was this relationship?
We were just like, so he was like my best friend, then turned boyfriend, but like we were both in the closet, like we were in high school.
Gotcha.
And
because like cuddling or something is like, what are you really
sorry.
Saying?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
cuddling and holding hands, but far enough away where like if his mom walked in, be like, it was a joke.
So that's where I'm getting at.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. So we were like just like laying in his bed, and then his mom walked in without us knowing. And she was just like, what are you doing? And I've never felt so just like frozen in my own body before. And that's for some reason, that's what I equate with Stupefy.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. Because
that.
I mean, I can't speak on behalf of understanding that exact situation,
yeah.
But like intimacy and vulnerability kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
And especially when the situation is like, no one should see this. No one can see this.
Right.
I know what'll happen if someone does find out about this. And then it's caught by like a person of authority rather than a friend that could understand, or like a family member that might be able to,
yeah,
but like someone of a like, oh, am I think I have to leave the house now.
Yeah, it was rough. I mean like, and this is so long ago now, but it's still like it's ingrained in my mind, just like her face and her tone, and just I've never, there's only like a few moments in my life where I just felt like frozen in my body, and that was mm-hmm. for sure one. So yeah. I would say that.
Yeah, I think that comes a lot with the whole intimacy thing, where especially at a young age in high school, I know Euphoria teaches us different, that we're supposed to be whores.
A different time.
That's a good show though.
I think it's an episode.
Very sexy teenagers.
Just very sounds like, I don't know if this is supposed to be allowed on television.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, high school is so fucking weird. I never understood how people could have confidence in high school and just put themselves out there.
Yeah.
And especially someone that needs to keep that part of them hidden. Terrifying.
Yeah.
A terrifying thing for a child to have to go through. Because for all intents and purposes, it's two children figuring themselves out.
Right.
What was that movie with Mark Duplass?
Creep? No.
It was.
I mean, yes, but.
Yeah. No, there's a film with Mark Duplass where like he takes his nephew and his nephew's friend out camping. Did you see this at all? He's like a rock star kind of, or you know, thinks he's a rock star living in like Arrested Development. And
I think at some point I just stopped watching his movies.
They're all just a little too similar.
I liked his most recent one. Did you see that with the dome?
No.
Oh, it was weird. I recommend it. Weird.
You do like Mark Duplass. You like Duplass Brothers.
I do. Safe Not Guaranteed. That's a classic.
That's a fun
one. I didn't like that one.
Oh my God.
I feel like you two need a show called like Point Counterpoint, but it's just you going back and forth between movies one of you liked and movies the other person did not like. And that's the whole show. It's just, I liked it. I didn't like it, but we're still friends.
So like that would honestly serve me really well, because when I like something, I go too much into it where like I don't see any of the negative anymore, so it's always helpful for somebody to be like, how did you not see this? And I'm like, oh, you know, that is in there, you're right.
But there is a Mark Duplass movie where he takes his nephew and his best friend out camping in like the Pacific Northwest. They stay at a motel, and like two girls of the same age like try to put moves on them in a hot tub, and one of them's into it and the other one is like, you realize, is jealous because they have a thing going on. And then Mark Duplass walks in on them kissing in the tent, and then the one that gets caught runs into the woods, and the rest of the movie is them trying to find this kid now stranded in the forest in the Pacific Northwest.
I have never heard of this movie.
It's a great movie.
Is it like a Duplass Brothers movie, or is it just like a movie he was in?
One of these quiet, mumblecore movies.
It was definitely mumblecore adjacent. I'm gonna look it up now. But
I like those.
Talk a little bit more. I think talking about the vulnerability of you know, having to go through with that and being frozen in that, like, clearly, as you know, time has gone on, you seem to have accepted that part been like, oh no, this is fine. I always think about is it still funny?
No, this memory will never be funny. I think
that's the telling part, is like when you can be like, whew, what a time. And like then it's like, oh, all right, that was just a thing I went through. It's not me anymore.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it'll be ever funny to me, just because I remember being so upset about it and just frozen. I was stupefied in a bad way. I could try to think of a good stupefy.
No. I think that's thank you for sharing.
That's a great example.
It's not Manhunt. I'm gonna find it. It's a really solid example. Excellent choice. What movie is this called? Zero Dark Thirty. No.
He was not in Zero Dark Thirty.
He is in Zero Dark
Thirty. Is he in Zero Dark Thirty?
He's in Zero. He plays Steve in Zero Dark Thirty.
I like that movie.
Oh, not allowed Steve! To like that
movie. You don't remember Steve?
Was he like one of the army guys?
It just says Steve.
Because Chris Pratt was one of the army guys.
And he turned out great.
He turned into a Lego.
And nothing wrong with him.
Zero wrong with him.
Do you guys give examples of being stupefied?
We don't do that anymore. You know what? I'll let me.
Nobody wants to hear from me,
because I feel like you guys must have gone through so many emotions at this point.
We've gone through so many, and we used to dedicate a part of the show where each one of us would talk about like what would make us feel that.
What would make you feel that? Not what has made you feel that.
Yeah, or like what has made you feel that. You didn't overshare. It's fine. No, there was a thing that it didn't leave me stupefied, but see, I think because we're comedians, we deflect a lot, where it's tough for us to be stupefied. Like, part of our job is to get up on stage, and if no one likes us on that stage and no one laughs, we have to be trained to be like, oh man, this sucks. Like, it doesn't stop us and we don't freeze up.
That would be my worst nightmare of all time.
More than you think. I want to kind of piggyback off of your story a little bit, where I lived with you for several months.
True.
We were friends all throughout college.
Years. Okay.
Yeah. years. But like, I lived in your home.
Oh, yeah.
You can count them in months.
Yeah. Months. Over the course of 128 months, I lived with Damon.
Yeah. I had a 24-month-old niece once, and then she became years old after that.
But there is a, I think you had come out to your family after I moved out.
Yeah.
and your family went like, listen, like, we love you, we support you, like, we're here for you. And then they went, and George. <'Cause> they just automatically assumed that we had been secretly dating the entire time. and it's even funnier to think about, like, you're going through this real surreal moment of like saying who you are in an open room with air in it. Like, it's no longer just like a mind thought.
Yeah.
Or as they call thoughts.
mind thought
and then have to backpedal, be like, no, never.
But aren't you flattered they love you that much?
Yes. They're, I love like... that your family loves me and I love them, and it's great. But it's also just like, I think I can speak for you as your very, very good best friend, that I am not your type.
You really just upgrade yourself.
I'm
really, really
name
good
another
best
person.
Any person, anybody. Who's the person?
But yeah, like, I don't.
It would have been really funny if they were surprised by you and were like, well, we always knew George, but like, we thought you were just really supportive.
That would have been hilarious.
They would have been like, I mean, when I dated and then we broke up, maybe I shouldn't say a name. Cut that, beep that.
Stephanie.
When I was dating my ex.
Have you never said her name before on this?
I don't know.
I don't know anyone George has ever dated.
Yeah, other than my wife and Damon. And now Damon. get them.
I don't know who we're talking to. There's nobody there.
What was it?
Good
say?
Girl.
Where was I going with? Oh, so I had an ex-girlfriend that we dated for quite some time. Actually, I moved out of Damon's house to move in with her in Philadelphia, which is true. Where I wound up in Philadelphia. And
It's her fault.
Yeah, it's her fault.
No, but didn't you want to go to Philly outside of her or no?
Like she was living
yes,
there,
not
so
inside
like,
of her, outside of her. Sorry.
Yes. I didn't want to wear her skin.
This got weird. I'm stupefied.
I can stupefied.
See, we get there.
We got there. So like I had moved there and then, you know, time moves on and you realize like you're just not compatible. And then like you're trying to figure out what's going on. You figure out, oh, she is not attracted to my gender. And
oh, okay. Yes. You have talked. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the fact that so much time was spent wondering like, what is wrong with me that I can't get this relationship to work, to then find out that like, it wasn't my fault at all.
Right.
Pretty stupefying, but like nice to come to terms with.
Yeah. It means you don't have to be like, what are my faults?
Yeah. Yeah. What is with me?
And I may not have been a good partner in this relationship, but it wasn't because of that.
I talked to her today. Cause
I remember being like, oh, like, are you okay? And you're like, none of it was my fault. I was like, okay, like that's it. That's yeah, your
and
take
then
away?
I roller skated away.
And then you fell.
Hit a rock. I'm having trouble finding this movie, but I think you made this movie up. Is it called? Wait, is this it?
Lazarus?
I don't know what you're looking at.
No.
Is this it?
What movie is this? Why don't we go
to... Is it Wes Schlagenhauf is Dying?
No, it's not Wes Schlagenhauf
is Dying. Not that? Whatever that is?
It's not that one. It's not Creep.
Was it Mark Duplass?
It was Mark Duplass. I remember.
Was it Jay Duplass?
Big mistake.
No. Darling companion, safety not guaranteeing the first AT. Your sister's sister, Mars.
Hump is Day.
No, this is a Ben Stiller vehicle. I love searching
one?
For things. True Adolescence was the name of the movie. And it definitely is a mumblecore film. Look at that poster. It's not even rated.
Oh my god.
So that's why it was so hard to find.
Yeah. Jobless and apartmentless, Sam crashes with his aunt as a last resort and becomes a reluctant camping trip chaperone to her teenage son and his pal.
This came out in 2009.
It's a great movie.
Why did you watch it?
It was on TV.
Okay.
Danny, did you want to add anything stupefiable to the conversation?
I've been spending this whole time trying to figure out, because we've talked a lot on here about how good I am at like quickly adjusting to kind of shocking stimuli, I guess would be the shortest way to say it. So like stupefy is kind of an emotion that I skip, because like normally the things that would kind of like knock you down like that, like
when have you been stupefied? I have not.
Yeah, I can't think of one. Like there had to be a time before like I developed that coping mechanism, I guess, because
sure.
It's I was about to say skill and I was like, it's not a skill, you shouldn't skip parts.
I think it's a skill. I would like to do that. How do you do that? Teach me.
Shut it down. Yeah, it's... you ever listen to a vibration, do that through yeah. awkward situations and then go okay and then walk away and you've avoided it, you've somehow avoided it.
Like I think about like I couldn't have always done this. So like, I don't know what the thing was that like, I was like, I'm never going to care in the moment ever again.
Was
I don't know what that was.
Concussions from football, Dan? Cause you didn't
oh,
have
totally
concussions
possible.
From football. I mean, we had a guest on the show a few years ago at this point. It was one of his friends who works for the Athletic still, right? They still work for the Athletic?
I believe currently. Yes.
Okay.
I think the job has changed, but the company is the same.
Okay. But he was like, they were just bonding over. It was like, remember when you get like a good concussion? Like, you just like everything would go dark for a few seconds.
Oh yeah, wasn't it wild how all the adults were like, nah, we need you out there?
You're like, I'm under medical duress.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah. Let's see what the people said online.
What does that mean?
Hold on. You
post on this.
So to explain to Damon, well, that was playing every episode. Once we get our emotion, we post it out to Facebook and various groups and see.
Yes, immediately after we get the emotion.
Never before.
Not before.
How would we?
It's, we can't bend time like that.
They understand that there's a formula and they sit patiently
and
wait.
They get the notification like.
We all know how to play this game at this point. The first one that came in, I'll get it out of the way. It was April 12th in the year 2000. And without researching, I know that that is when the sickness came out.
I can soon be mine!
I did go and research, but I thought
that
would
be... Chicago? That's still weird to me.
Why is that weird?
Because like, Disturbed should somewhere. Be from Indiana.
No. If yes! Anything, I would say they're like not American. I would say they're like an angry German group.
You think they're Rammstein?
Have you heard them? Have you heard them do Sound of Silence?
Yeah, my mom loves it. Which
that kind
is
of pandery bullshit is something only an American rock band would do.
True. Yeah, I didn't hate that version, guys.
It does explicitly say
it's not bad.
It was stirring. Okay, stirring.
He has been notorious, so like the singer of Disturbed. Let's get political for a second, because why not? We're going to bring in strong political things to this episode now.
I'm sure that's what the person meant when they said they felt stupefied by stupefied.
I was stupefied by it because the singer of Disturbed, raised proud Jewish man and supports Israel unequivocally and has been very silent lately.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Isn't it?
I knew the first part. I hadn't paid attention to his... takes or non-takes on the current issue.
Fired.
You're just fired from
his,
Disturbed.
Twitter feed every day. You're like, still nothing.
Still nothing. Listen, I have friends on both sides that post little Israeli flags and little Palestinian flags on Instagram every day. This man, quiet.
Well, he doesn't want to alienate Disturbed's Palestinian crowd.
There's dozens of them.
Which I honestly, that band was huge.
You're so big.
They had like a decade of number one albums, not just one.
I'm sure they went on the metal charts though, like not like Hot 100.
Well, I mean, it's diminishing returns on like what actually cracks it anymore. So I think an established band is more likely to do it. Mm. But reading the description, it did not specify any genre stuff. And it was from that album, which was 2000. Until whatever their 2018 album was that only went to number four, everything still, in between had hit number one.
That's wild that they have stayed resilient within 1 to 4.
But I will check the numbers. Do you have the Facebook open or no?
I can do it.
All right. Well, I'll check the numbers
in 2018.
I feel like because they had something that had another cover on it. I feel like they were trying to. Divert their metal attention and trying to be like, we're just a cool rock band.
So we have a failed broken GIF, because I guess they tried to post a GIF, but it didn't work, of what seems to be...
It's broken for you too? I thought that was just for me.
No, it's for all of us. It just says mortified and stupefied, and it's two men in court. I'm not sure I get the reference. Maybe if the GIF would turn
If
around.
I could see his face!
Yeah, I could understand what this reference is, but thank you for contributing. Next, bad drivers. Now that I have a teenager who's driving age, I'm pointing out to him everything that people are doing wrong and dangerous, and it's astounding.
Isn't that wild when you start to see things like your perspective shifts like that, where you're like, I've just been doing this innately for like, I don't know, 18 years or whatever. And then all of a sudden you have to like point it out to people and you're like, they shouldn't be doing that. Why am I why am I okay with this?
Yeah, I never realized until I drive with someone how critical I am of other people's driving. Mm-hmm. I think it's a nervous tic because like I need to fill the silence in the car with someone's in there. So it happens a lot where I'll just be like quiet in the car driving, light sad music playing on my Bluetooth speaker because my car is a piece of shit. And then go.
It is quite the setup.
This fucking guy. And just every so often, just get angry for myself, not to myself or for anybody else. It's for me.
I feel like I get angry at other drivers when I have someone in the car. If it's just me, I'm like, what am I?
This is in God's hands now.
And I feel like there's accidents like every day. Like I'm like, what happened? Like, what is going on?
Why? There were 7 accidents this morning. I just kept on driving past people in such rapid succession that the only thing I could think of was they saw the first accident and were rubbernecking and then hit another car and then they had
that
to pull off.
And then
everyone was like, what's with all these cars parked? And then they rear-ended someone. Like, it was just 7 people within a mile.
So dumb.
So I have the information.
Okay.
So The Sickness, despite being their best-selling album by far, peaked at 29.
No kidding.
After that, Believe, 10,000 Fists, Indestructible, Asylum, Immortalized, all number one albums on the actual number one album chart.
Okay.
Those are all their album titles?
Yes.
Those are horrible.
Asylum went to number one, only certified gold. I don't know. Just a tough week, I guess. August 31st, 2010. Nothing else was coming out, I guess.
Katy Perry. I don't know.
Katy Perry.
What was 2010? I don't know.
2010 must have been like Teenage Dream or something.
Yeah. Lady Gaga.
But they beat them all for a week at least.
I saw something so stupid where it was like a picture of Lady Gaga looking shocked. And it was like when she sees Lord Gugu.
That's awesome.
It's so fucking stupid. All right, next one on the list. I'm skipping one because I know Damon will appreciate this one. I know how he is built. Most conversations with parents of toddlers at work. So I'm assuming this person works with children and then having to deal with parents. Anytime someone works in some sort of teaching industry, I would assume that they don't look at that.
I took that as like coworkers who have toddlers and them just like talking about their kids all the time.
Oh, I took it as a teacher, because like your whole family pretty much works in the education field.
Yeah, they're terrible.
just like no one's ever got to complain about the kid, and when they do, they're like, because their parents are raising them wrong.
Yeah.
True.
It is insane to see what parents are just like either blind to or pretending to be blind to. Mm-hmm. A lot of the like, oh, we never see that at home. It's like, well, one, either you're never saying no to this kid, or two, you are lying to my face.
No, like, they're busy watching Young Sheldon. That's all.
Yeah, that's what the kid's busy watching Young Sheldon while the parents are watching not the kid.
Dan, could you read the last one that someone wrote, and then I will read what let's call them Schmandy Schmain wrote.
Orange gentleman elected president, then a group of his friends tried insurrection at his behest to keep him in office when he didn't win again.
And I get stupid.
Yo, every one of those motherfuckers that broke into the Capitol listens to Disturbed.
They are for why sure. They were number one for a decade.
It's like them and Godsmack single-handedly keeping fascism in the United States.
Godsmack has a new song out on the radio.
You know where they're from? Because I looked that up too. When I looked up where
they're from, Boston.
They're from Boston.
Yeah, that's weirder to me than
his name is Sully. They're obviously from Boston.
It is true. I forgot that his name is Sully.
Past guests, the episode that you weren't here for, Ben Fidler and John Traynor. I forget whose story it is. I think it's Ben's, but saw Sully do the national anthem at a Patriots game. And it was years ago. And it's a story I've heard multiple times because everyone's like, what is this?
That is fantastic.
Anyway, get us out of here.
All right. The last one from our posts, from what the people said, most conversations with my parents. I'm reading the wrong one.
I was going to say, like, that's not right.
Last one is, I just had an argument with Hermione Granger.
That's the right answer. That is the correct reaction, emotion. Yep. I don't care.
Centrifugalis totalis. Poor Neville.
That's fucking, he's a good kid.
It's okay. He got points at the end because it didn't make sense.
And also, but also, let's talk about that for a second before we get the fuck out of here.
You never got into this territory on the podcast before?
I mean, we very rarely get into Harry Potter world, but holy shit. Hermione Granger being so smart, 10 points. Ron being brave, 10 points. Mm-hmm. Harry being, you know, fucking Nepo baby.
Nepo!
10 points. It takes strength to stand up to your friends. 5 points. You're a B-team character, Neville. You get 5 points.
I think it was. They were important nice points, though.
And then by the end of the movies, what an important character. They really were like, remember that kid that got 5 points?
You got killed that snake.
Fucked up that snake. Well, that has been an episode about Stupefy. Damon, thank you so much for driving all the way down here and doing this in person. This is a lot of fun. I miss doing this show. We did, I think, a total less than 10 episodes of someone being in the room with us when it's happening. So this is a high honor.
Oh,
thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, I think we've only done one or two maybe since we've been like post-pandemic world.
The first four were with people. The last one was an art piece because it was with Greg Gethard. So one of our dear friends of the show, his name is Greg Gethard, does a character called Financial Guru Greg Gethard.
Okay.
Where he's basically doing a play on like the rich dad, poor dad seminar that people will sometimes go to at like Marriott conference rooms.
Classic.
And it basically was him devolving into madness after a girl broke up with him that does like a paint and sip. Chain.
That's awesome.
And then the microphone dropped and we played along and then we had a lovely conversation with him off mic like normal person and then the world shut down. That was like the last time I saw Dan for a year and a half.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I think episode 4 or 5 was us going, well, pandemic's happening, and then we like put out the rest of the banked ones. So like from like 8 on it's this.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have a real life human being.
A real exclusive club that you're a part of.
Even though I'm not there.
And you're not there, but that's fine. You're handling a dog, and we respect you for handling a dog. Damon, I love you. You're my bestest friend in the whole wide world.
Thank you.
And Dan, no.
You know, we've been playing out to songs.
Oh yes,
which is it's a new thing we've been doing, and I feel like the choice this time is obvious. Here's that. Bye.
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 Stupid Cupid, you're a real mean guy. I'd like to clip your wings so you can fly.
Stupid Cupid.
I'm in love and it's a crying shame.
Stupid Cupid.
And I know that you're the one to blame.
Stupid Cupid.
Hey, hey, set me free. Stupid Cupid, stop picking on me.
I can stupefied!
Feel Feelings is a Wasted Robot production. Editing done by Dan Getz. Music by George Bruderman. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at FeelFeelingsPod, and even leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/FeelFeelings. If you're ever feeling any heavy emotions and feel like there's nowhere to turn to, please don't hesitate to reach out to us or to any of the resources in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation from the Wasted Robot Network. For more information and links to other shows, please visit www.wastedrobotrecords.com/podcasts.
Lord, such a professional show!